Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. Feeling kind of proud of myself.
Are you now?
Now, look, what I did last night was not earth-shattering. But as a guy, every once in a while...
You said no to dessert?
hey, let's not get crazy.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not get crazy.
Diabetes.
Yeah, wasn't that insane?
Let's not get nuts.
Okay, what did you do? What did you do?
So I was driving around last night, running a couple of errands, and all of a sudden, I hear pop. I'm like, oh, I think I ran over something.
Uh-oh.
So immediately, the check tire light comes on the dash. Mm-hmm. And I start, you know, I'm like, I got to pull over. So I start driving, and right away the tire says, whoa, 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 whoa. So it's flat. Pull into a parking lot, and then proceeded to change my first tire in about 20 years.
Just came back like riding a bike,
It
huh?
did.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yep. No, I know. I know. Can you imagine?
Felt good.
Can you imagine if you went over to the Perfect Cup right now with a bunch of Johnny's friends? Told them about the story of how you changed the tire.
Oh my God!
The night of September 28th,
they'd all be sitting around, eyes wide.
Oh, googly eyed.
Just like you did what?
Okay, boomer.
What? Changed your own tire?
Are you a wizard? Yeah.
What kind of black magic do you live in? What
kind of sorcery is this tire changing? Yeah.
You mean
for you?
Where was the tire?
Yes.
Where do they keep the there's an extra tire in your car?
Right.
Where do they keep it?
Yes. Is it by the on button?
So, yeah, it was good.
Good for you.
Yep.
That's I always feel
every
good
once in
about
a while you got to do something like that, right?
Yeah. There was a time that I was just a magnet for flat tires. Like
they come in bunches?
Yeah, they're like bananas. They come in bunches. And I just kept having to change people's tires.
Oh, you were helping out changing people's tires.
Oh, yeah.
Good
nobody,
Samaritan.
Yeah, because nobody knows how to change a tire. They're all just looking at it like, it's like the scene from Zoolander when they're trying to get the files out of the computer. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, they turn into monkeys jumping around, trying to figure out how to get it out. Yeah.
So as a reminder to me, I got to teach my son how to do it.
Oh yeah,
he's of driving age now, so
yeah.
Got to learn. Got to know how to do it.
Got to know what you're doing.
Got to know how to do it. So there you go, feeling a little extra manly today.
Next up,
maybe I will turn down dessert. Nah,
you do look a little extra manly today.
That's right.
Yeah,
puffed out a little bit more.
A little bit more
swole.
Yes.
You know,
I don't know if that's maybe
you're
retaining salt. Maybe that's why you feel puffy.
You don't have to laugh like that.
No,
you don't have to. You know that it's that condescending.
Yeah,
little
I know.
Patronizing
I'm a little puffy too, though.
Little laugh of yours.
Yeah, I'm a little puffy too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Nathaniel Hackett talking about what Mark predicts will happen this week against the Raiders. The offense clicking.
Scoring a lot of points and scoring in the red zone and converting on third down, getting a good run game, good pass game, good balance between the two of those. I think that's what we're aiming for. And we have yet to really, you know, turn it on, I think. And right now it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds. I think that's the positive thing. I think it's about us as a group. It's about me as a play caller first and foremost, and then getting Russell in a rhythm, getting the running backs in a rhythm, everybody in a rhythm to be efficient and also be able to get explosive plays.
All right. There's Nathaniel Hackett's view of it. How does Russell Wilson view getting your offense clicking and in a rhythm?
I think the biggest thing is staying on schedule. No penalties. That's a big thing. It gets you out of rhythm. You know, we had a lot of third and longs the other day. You know, in those kind of situations, that gets you out of rhythm, especially against a team that, you know, knows how to get off the ball and rush the passer and all that stuff. So I think just staying on rhythm, you know, and finding ways on even third and long, still find a way to get a first down conversion on third down and long, just like we did at the end of the game. And not every game is going to be perfect. You know, not every game is going to be, you know, just right. But I do believe that we're on that pursuit. I do believe we're right there. I've been on a lot of teams, played a lot of sports, played a lot of games, a lot of big moments and everything else. And there's a special feeling in this locker room, special feeling about where we're going, where we're headed. And we believe in that.
Well, they believe what you believe, that this offense is ready to click. And you believe it's going to click this week. No baby steps, no, hey, incremental type steps. Nope, you think it explodes this week.
It's spicy.
It's going to get spicy. I said that I think they score between 24 and 30 points offense.
Which is breaking out.
Yeah, considering they're averaging about 14, a little over 14 points a game. And, you know, I mean, one thing I'll say about what Hackett said about, you know, self-inflicted wounds. That's true. You know, you put a couple of fumbles down near the goal line. You know, you turn the ball over a couple of times. Those self-inflicted wounds that stop drives, that end up killing drives, those little penalties, those, you know, one bad play that puts you behind the chains and puts you in a situation where you're third and long and it's really hard to convert those things. Those are self-inflicted wounds that you have to clean up. Now, why do those wounds happen? Why do those things happen to you? Well, because, you know, you're not 100% sure what you're doing. You're a little bit late coming off the ball. Or you're a little early jumping off the ball. Whatever it is. And that's inconsistency, and that's things that have to be cleaned up. Can they be cleaned up? Yes. Now, here's the deal. And I've told you this. The Raiders will make plays. They got some playmakers. Chandler Jones is a playmaker. Max Crosby is a playmaker. Jonathan Abrams, the safety. He's a playmaker, man. He will hit you. But they'll also give up a bunch of plays, Mike. And they have done that consistently. They have played with lulls. You look at their games, man. There are games where, like Arizona, they come out like a house of fire and they take the second half off. Last week against Tennessee, they took the first half off. Then they came out and scrambled and, you know, were a two-point conversion away from tying up that game at the very end. So they've had that kind of really gangbusters and then just disappear. But I think there's ample opportunity because I think they make enough mistakes to give you big time opportunities in the passing game and in the running game.
On the subject of me changing a tire last night, welcome to manhood again, Mike, says one texter.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else said Evans did the tire reek air. No, that's leak air.
What if you put a W in front of leak?
Can you do that? Tell me, you've got to work that into your... That's got to be a phrase that pays this weekend for you. You got to have somebody wreaking havoc. Somebody, you know, comes into the backfield, wreaks havoc, and right. You got to start talking about, you know, wreaking with a W as opposed to wreaking with an R.
See, I wreaked with an R havoc because I always used to have urine in my pants.
Correct.
Right. That's wreaking havoc.
See, that's the kind of next-level commentary I'm looking for.
The W-R is to wreak havoc.
That's next level.
Right, not
commentary.
To be confused with that, Eureka.
That puts you in, that correct.
Right, which is a U. Oh, man.
No, you're not going to get me on that.
What?
You're not going to get me on that.
Eureka? Isn't we? There's no U in Eureka?
There is, but.
How do you spell Eureka?
Starts with an E.
That's why I can't.
The language of fortune, please.
Yeah.
E-U.
EU?
EU.
Eureka. It would be Eureka.
Coming up.
We have the definition, please.
Coming up. We've got Joel Klatt explaining why it seems Russell Wilson only has eyes for Courtland Sutton. That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Every Thursday at this time, we like to give you the best of Joel Klatt, our Wednesday visit with Joel during the 8 a.m. hour and the 8 a.m. textures. They don't deserve Joel Klatt. You do. And Joel, talking about whether or not that last drive, the touchdown drive that won it for the Broncos, is something that he's encouraged that the Broncos can build on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you have those moments that you learn about each other, and I think Nathaniel Hackett is learning about his quarterback, and Russell Wilson is learning how to play with this group of players. I couldn't agree with you guys more. Those, you know, those numbers about like Russell, what he was for a few years ago versus now on some percentage basis based on what some, you know, some guy deems a plus or a minus or good or bad throw, or that to me, it doesn't give you a sense of what's actually going on. And I think these moments that you have some success, and in particular in critical moments when you're down and you're facing adversity, those can be big building blocks moving forward. And I certainly hope that that's the case with Russell and this offense moving forward. I would say that I'm, and this is not generally me, because you know that I like to be panicked. I wasn't as worried about their performance only because I don't want to view performances, in particular like an offensive or defensive or special teams performance, in a vacuum. And I think far too often we do that as fans, is we say like, well, the defense played great, but the offense didn't. But in reality, the two are connected. And if you actually look, and the way that I watched the game is I felt like there was an acknowledgement about the way that the defense was playing. And the only thing that was going to beat Denver was if the defense got tired. And so what do you do then? Well, you've got to find ways to extend drives, and you better hold the ball longer than the opposition. And they did that. I believe that they had, was it 34 minutes time of possession? They had, you know, over 15 more snaps in the same amount of drives, 14 drives apiece. And they protected their defense a little bit. And, guys, complementary football is important. If Denver's offense went out there and they were just worried about themselves and they played selfish football and they said, we got to gain yards just because we don't want people to speak poorly about us, maybe they would have put their defense in a more precarious spot. If the defense has to defend 10 more snaps, is that the point of demarcation where we start to see the performance decline, where they don't get the turnovers necessary in order to win the game? So, listen, was it a great offensive game? No. Was it some sort of masterpiece? No. But I will give them a tip of the cap in terms of the style and the complementary style that they played to allow their defense to be as dominant as it was. And this is still, the second-ranked scoring defense in the league, and they let them go out there and dominate.
As a very good quarterback at CU, I always enjoy your quarterback perspective. When you look at Russell Wilson and Cortland Sutton, clearly there is a connection there, but you don't sense that with any of the other pass catchers. What goes into a quarterback trusting his wide receivers, maybe freezing out a receiver, or maybe being too overly reliant on one receiver? What goes into the quarterback's mindset there?
Well, there's a lot that go on. And in the NFL, a lot is predicated upon matchup and the personnel of what you're getting and what you're trying to do with your formation, your personnel group, and the things that you're trying to isolate within the offense. That's from a structural standpoint. From the personal standpoint, from the human side, you touched on the word. It's about trust. A quarterback is expecting very certain pictures, and those pictures need to be consistent every single time, because, to be quite honest, it doesn't matter if you're Russell Wilson's height or if you're Tom Brady's height. You know, it doesn't matter if you're Brock Osweiler. A lot of times you don't see everything that's going on. So what you are is reliant on the picture and the timing of what's going on with your wide receivers. And the receivers that perform in a really consistent manner, and they are constantly in the right spots, creating the space needed for you to complete passes, and then those that are reliant in terms of catching the football, they build a trust. And when you trust a wide receiver, that's a really powerful thing. It's also a really powerful thing when that trust is broken or eroded or never there to begin with. And I think that that's pretty clear what's going on right now. I don't think it has developed with anybody else. Now, you've got to use them at times, and we see, what was it, 6 targets for Judy. He only gets those 2 passes. but there's clearly not the trust. It's almost like the defense is forcing him to go to Judy. The read is forcing him to go that way because he really wants to stay where he's comfortable and with a wide receiver that he's comfortable with, because he has trust in Courtland Sutton that Courtland's going to be in the right spot at the right time. Those pictures are very important for the timing mechanism of the offense. And it's pretty clear that those two have a pretty good chemistry right now.
Joel, you know, Brock Huard, and he's our Russell Wilson whisperer from our sister station in Seattle. And we were talking to him yesterday, and it's his opinion that Russell Wilson, as he moves into the second half of his career, wants to become Drew Brees, wants to emulate what Drew Brees did for the entirety of his time in New Orleans and became a Hall of Fame quarterback, played until he was 41 years old. You spent a little bit of time in New Orleans around Drew Brees. Do you see the potential for Russell Wilson over the second half of his career to become basically Drew Brees-like?
Well, I've never thought Russell was as what's the word? I mean, frankly, as good of a just straight drop back passer as Brees. You have to understand that Brees has thousands more reps of having to stay in the pocket, manipulate the defense with his eyes, and create completions with his eyes, his mind, and his feet. Whereas Russell has thousands times more scrambles creating with his athleticism. Drew Brees could never be Russell Wilson, and I don't think Russell Wilson can ever be Drew Brees. It's very difficult to kind of change the way that you play. Having said that, I think that he's very much onto something. Brock is a really smart guy. I think Brock's one of the great people of all time, but really smart in his analysis. And I think that what you see from Denver at times is them trying to force that issue for Russell, almost like it was talked about within this trade and then the contract time, because I think that they're in the shotgun too much for the style of offense that they should be. I think that they should be in 12 personnel more. I think that they should be in run action pass mode a little bit more, get under center and try to get the heavy play action going, try to get those tight ends sliding across and Russell Wilson outside of the pocket, get some more movement going a la late 90s Denver Broncos, 2005 Denver Broncos with Jake Plummer. I think they would be a better offense in that mold versus trying to fit Russell in the box of potentially a Russell Wilson. Now, he is right in one accord. If he wants to play until he's 41, that's the way he's going to have to go because he's just going to slow down physically. But having said that, Drew Brees is Drew Brees for a reason. He's one of the all-time greats. You don't just become Drew Brees because you want to. It's like, it's like asking these quarterbacks in the draft or in college, like, who do you model your game after in the NFL? And all of them are like, well, good question. I really try to watch a lot of Tom Brady. It's like, no crap. Like, who are they supposed to say? I look at Chase Daniel. You're not going to say Chase Daniel. Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
I
really admire Case Keenum.
Right. But I just question whether he's got that ability. I don't think he does. I mean, Drew is one of one.
I've always been enthralled with throwing the check down short of the sticks. It's always been my thing.
What was it, Deshaun Kizer?
I had a really smart coach once told me, you just got to let your offense work for you. That's what I try to do.
Was it Deshaun Kizer came out of Notre Dame and says, I got the athleticism of Cam Newton and the brain of Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Automatically off my draft board. He's automatically going, okay, we can't draft that guy.
But by the way, can we just pause for a moment? It's like, well, if you pose the question, get ready for a dumb answer.
Right.
He's not going to say Case Keenum.
And we end on Case Keenum, the best of Joel Klatt each and every week right here. Coming up, we got the Morning Brew for you. Speaking of Russell Wilson's connection with Courtland Sutton, Russ talks Courtland Sutton next in the Morning Brew.
Keenum, there's the interception.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pure energy.
Yeah, you know, that's the past. I mean, this is the now, and so I just know what we're about to go out there and try to do. I know it's going to be a great game. I know that there is a rivalry between these two teams, and happy to be part of it. And I think it's going to be a fun game.
Nathaniel Hackett joins the Broncos-Raiders rivalry. And for all the things that are at stake this week, how about just the idea of we got to reverse some recent history against the Raiders? 1-6 in their last seven.
That's pathetic. That's horrible.
Coming from somebody who was, what were you again, 11-1?
Yeah, that's horrible. And listen, this it has nothing to do with this staff or this quarterback or does have something to do with some of these players, but, you know. They've lost six of the last seven to the Raiders? Unacceptable. Yeah. They need a breakout. This is a breakout game. Let's go.
Just think about it. You can get another big win, get to 3-1, and you can effectively eliminate the Raiders from playoff contention. And the team that knocks the Raiders out of playoff contention, Josh McDaniels' Raiders out of contention, is the Denver Broncos. How sweet would that be? Next on the Morning Brew.
I think Cortland Sutton's a rock star, man. This guy's special. Just how he goes and tacks the football, how he makes plays, and how he's so focused in the meetings, and how he leads guys. And, you know, he's great in the weight room. I mean, this guy's doing everything he can just to be phenomenal, and he already is. And so the sky's the limit for him. He's got so much capability. I think people need to know who Cortland Sutton is, and they're starting to really recognize how special he really is.
He's great in the weight room.
You hear his voice when he said, when he makes plays.
He's great in the weight room.
Great in the weight room.
I mean, I tell you what, there's nothing I think of like when I'm like, wow, that receiver. Man, how good is he in the weight room?
It's spicy.
He is spicy.
Okay.
I love our quarterback.
I love our quarterback. We're going to talk a lot about our quarterback coming up here in the next segment. State of the unions and everything like that. So, Cortland Sutton.
Yes. Yes.
In your travels around the NFL, who does Cortland Sutton remind you of?
Ooh. That is a good question. He's a big body guy.
I don't ask poor questions.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh, you're so wise. I'm just going to start calling you Sensei.
Only good questions.
You don't ask the bad ones.
No.
Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
Bingo. Go ahead. Continue. Yes.
Exhibit A.
I
don't know. That's a good question. Who does he remind me of? He's a big body guy.
Yeah. Not a big burner, though. Not super, super fast.
No, he's not like lift the top of coverage speed, but he's got good enough speed to get deep. He's got great... Yeah, great from a possession standpoint. That's a good question.
Need some time to think about it?
Yeah.
I'll let you think about it.
Did you have somebody in mind?
No. No, not right off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, you just threw it out
there. I just threw it out there. You're the one that breaks down film every week. I don't.
I know, but I'm
You're the one that's the self-proclaimed football expert.
I've never claimed to be an expert.
Oh, right. Mark
Schlereth. Have you ever heard me say, I'm a football expert?
Just oozes humility.
Wait, have you ever heard me say?
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
Mike. Oh, I have said you are.
Next on the Morning Bro. Wait.
Didn't like the penalties, discipline, calls, all of it, you know? Like 8 times we're putting on the power play. I felt like we controlled the first period, especially 5-on-5. Our breakdowns at the end of the second period, 5-on-5, were terrible. Missed coverage and on a few of them. They all kind of happen the same way. So we'll look at it and go through it and teach it.
Well, the Avalanche sending out their C squad again, losing at Vegas 7-1. Okay, at some point now, are we going to have to start to put the scrutiny to Jared Bednar? Why aren't you playing your guys in the preseason?
Ooh.
Hmm?
Are you basically saying this is kind of reminiscent of what went on in camp here with the Broncos?
I'm just saying. When is Jared Bednar going to come out and say, wait until you see us in February? That's the hockey equivalent of December.
I don't know. I'm trying to look at the math. is it? I think it's more November.
No. Hackett says we did what we did so that we'll be fresh in December at the end of the season. You start the season here in a couple of weeks, so you are fresh in the end of the season. March, February, March, April.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think the equivalent is not February.
April.
Yeah.
April.
Okay.
When do you see?
I thought your months were off.
You're right.
Your math months were off. Let's go with April.
I like that.
See, that makes more sense.
But I do think that this is sort of a precursor. This is what we should expect. And I think what's smart is the idea that, look, you just came off a long season, very short off season, right back into it. You know you're going to be there now. This is no longer a question of if. It's just a matter of they'll be there and then go about defending the cup. So I would think that that's got to be part of the organizational strategy is to work these guys in slowly.
Which I
think is exceptionally smart. I don't want to see them in preseason games. Who needs to?
I don't know. Do you need to? Yeah.
Maybe one game.
Okay, well,
one
how
game.
Come?
One game.
Okay, I was just going to say, how come you had to see Russell in the preseason?
Well, because he's brand new to this staff and to the players. They need to gel. They need some continuity.
Well, you don't
As
think...
veterans don't need any continuity or gelling.
I think everybody needs a little gelling and continuity.
All right, one game, one preseason game. Away we go. Next in the Morning Brew.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it.
Yes, TV. Aaron Judge hit number 61 last night in Toronto. Tying Roger Maris for the all-time single-season home run record. I do not acknowledge those steroid abusers
Mike Evans, all time. You should send him a letter of congratulations.
I will. Letter of authenticity. Yeah, I was going to go with authentication, but
authentication?
Authentication. A letter of jeesh. Whoa. You are made radio history
don't
here.
Don't blame me, Blabber.
Letter of authentication.
Letter of authentication.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I'm struggling with that one.
Mike Evans, heretofore announce you as the official. He's only tied the record.
But he's tied now.
Ian Roger Maris.
That's correct. That'll do it. Congratulations to Aaron Judge. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up on Monday, October 3rd, we are putting on the party of the fall. Invite only. Can't share any more details, but what we can do is get you there. Caller 4 right now. You get 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event thanks to Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Caller 4 right now, 303-713-1043. Mark, in the years that you have covered Russell Wilson in Seattle, were you ever aware of his Tuesday State of the Unions? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I have all the guys come in. You know, it's voluntary, obviously, but everybody comes in. They do a great job. I mean, everybody's so wired in, so focused. A lot of guys have watched the film already. They're prepared. I always call it, you know, it's kind of a review session rather than a dissertation or whatever. I want to know from those guys. Some of you guys have played these guys. Some of you guys may not have. Here's this. What do you see on film? It's a great communication. The players do a great job of it, and so much knowledge in the room with those guys.
Huh, we learned something yesterday. Russell Wilson's State of the Union meetings on Tuesdays, where he goes over the offense, the game plan, just kind of chopping it up with some guys on offense.
It's spicy.
And apparently, he's been doing it since his playing days, early in his playing days in Seattle.
Yeah, I've been doing it since my rookie year, and everything else. But it's been great. You know, I think it's something I wanted to make sure I did every Tuesday. Just spend time with guys and make sure we go over the film, make sure we go over the personnel, making sure that we know the fronts, make sure we know what the pressure looks are, who their pressure guys are, all that information, who the head coach is, where does he come from, what's his discipleship, where's the defensive coordinator from, all that information is really important.
Is there actually a hard copy that you supply to your teammates?
That may be confidential information. offense only? Yeah, it's just offense. Every once in a while, you'll see a defensive player peek their head in, you know. It's like, hey, you know, okay. So that's always fun.
Mark, you've been covering Russell Wilson for a long time. You've done a lot of Seattle games over the years. You've had a lot of conversations with Russell Wilson, with Pete Carroll. Were you aware of these extensive Tuesday State of the Union meetings in Seattle?
No, I knew about
Bronco Country. Let's ride.
I told you about the game plan he puts together and the 15-page dossier or whatever. The Tuesday, I was unaware of the he did it when he was a rookie.
It was Brock Huard when Brock Huard was asked about it yesterday.
Yeah. So, I did not know that. When he was a rookie, was he just standing in front of the meeting by himself? Like, and then I also want to say, right? Listen, man.
Bit disingenuous.
What?
What he said yesterday about doing it all the way back in his rookie year?
I don't know how many guys showed up when he was a rookie. And by the way, just let me say for the record, you have a good time. I'll see you on Wednesday. I'm a freaking grown-ass man, and I'm a professional. I do my work. Now, I was always over there Tuesday anyhow doing my rehab and stuff, but There comes a time I'm taking my kids to school. You know, I don't have a nanny. You know, I don't have a nanny and a personal chef and a da-da-da-da and a da-da-da-da. Like, no. And plus, some guys just don't have the capacity that you have. It's for some, it's more important to get away for a day than it is to go over there. And so, like, this is legitimately the issue. Like, this wasn't a choice between, the guy is unbelievable. But this wasn't a choice between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. This was we don't want Russell Wilson anymore. And sure, there was a part that says, hey, man, diminishing skill set eventually and blah, 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 blah. But it was more about this, the grind on the organization, than it was anything else. I mean, in all seriousness. So you're the head coach. You and your coaches are there on Tuesday putting a game plan together, right? And you go to present the game plan, and what if it's not what Russell Wilson decided to present to the group on Tuesday? I imagine you're in contact with one another, but this is where coaches and players got annoyed.
But this is what you signed up for. This is what you wanted, and you knew, as you have described,
yeah,
in
you
past,
went in with eyes wide open.
That Russell Wilson would put together these 10, 11-page dossiers on the next week's opponent, and he would present them to Pete Carroll, and you know, Pete would get it and go, hey, Russ, thanks, you know, and then quickly, you know, that's – so he wanted his voice to be heard.
Yeah.
And the Broncos are giving him that. So you don't just stop. This is what he wants to do. And if this is what he wants to do – by the way, isn't this just under the definition? Isn't this under the title of leadership? Isn't this creating a work ethic, a standard that hasn't existed here since Peyton Manning walked out the door? What's wrong with it? I don't see anything wrong with it. So he's getting guys to come in on a late Tuesday night. Let's go over some things before we go to work on Wednesday. What's wrong with that?
No. What's wrong with it is if you've got, so your family's in town, you haven't seen your family, you know, they live in a different area.
Wait a minute, hold on, I'm confused.
And you want to go eat dinner.
Wait a minute, hold on, I'm confused. Because when Drew Locke and the quarterbacks broke their tracers and Drew wanted credit and his mom wanted credit for Drew because he came in on a Tuesday on his off day, you were like,
that's your job,
that's
your quarterback.
Job.
Yeah.
That's your job, Russell's, you're a quarterback. Okay.
It's Russell's job to be connected with the coaches on a Tuesday and do that. Yeah, it's not my job. That's not my job. If we're going to pay the quarterback $40, $50 million a year because he's in charge of everything, then be in charge of everything. But that's not – it's not. Man, like, I'm a –
So these players hate doing this.
I don't know.
Is what you're saying.
No, I don't – I'm not saying that.
No. I'm not trying to pin you down. I'm not trying to get you on the defensive. But you were a former player. And you just said you would hate – to be told or, it well, voluntary, you'd say hell no. Do you think that that's how these players,
Brian Habib would tell Russell Wilson to pound sand, and he might beat him up. So I'm just letting you know, like our offensive line, ain't nobody worked harder. There ain't nobody prepared more. There is nobody that studied more than our group. And we did it again. Now, I know that it's different.
All right, that's the old lineman, though. What about the receivers?
Rod,
Eddie, Shannon.
Right. I know that, but they were professionals, man.
But these guys aren't professionals. The Bronco receivers, the Bronco players on offense, right. They haven't put a squirt of you-know-what in the bucket yet. So
sure.
What's wrong with pushing along the process? And, yeah, maybe they don't like to come in on a Tuesday night on their off day. Well, boo-hoo. You know, it's been a lot of losing around here. You guys haven't proven yourself as a legitimate NFL stars yet. So if this guy's pushing you to get better, you should embrace it rather than roll your eyes at it.
I can do whatever I want with it. Because I'm gone a lot. I'm gonna start having the meetings every like. But I'm gonna do it like you get done because you got to drive a long way here. I don't. I'm gonna start doing it every Tuesday afternoon from let's say 3 to 5 every Tuesday afternoon.
And I gotta come to your house.
I want you to drive back here, right? And then I want to do some show prep.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I don't want to be so off scripted.
Yeah, but dude, I've been doing this for 25 years. Okay, I'm not. Now, if this was my first or second year in radio, then yeah, maybe I would feel that it'd be good for me.
Here's the big problem. You got your family in town. I'm not showing up. You know what? That's fine. You don't have to show up. It's voluntary. But is Russell taking
attendance?
Cortland Sutton. Here, Jerry Judy. Right.
Judy.
Oh, excuse me. I said that wrong.
Judy.
Harry Hootie. Yeah. What's up, Doc?
4 down territory coming up next. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.